The reading is taken from Acts 16, 25 to 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, the Bible. We pray now that by your Holy Spirit you would help us to understand it and understand you just more deeply so that we can live lives that honour you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wondered what's made you happy in the last few days. Anybody want to shout something out? Something that's made you happy, Sue? Richard clean the kitchen. Yeah, that would have made anybody happy. Anybody else? Something that's made you happy? Obviously, Layla's wasps, baptism.
Wasps.
Women at St. Patrick's, is that? Sorry, the other wasps. Right, yeah, okay. Yeah. Brilliant. Getting all those tax returns done. Okay, yeah. I thought I was going to be happy this morning, today, and be able to see that, you know, Andy Murray had won, but he got beaten in the final, didn't he? So maybe not so happy. Now, I just want you to think about something slightly deeper, something that in your life that has made you joyful, something that has impacted you more deeply, that you sort of return to it and you sort of just celebrate it, you know, as something that has brought much joy to you in your life. Just have a quick think about that. I won't ask you to shout those ones out, but just have a think. What might they be, I wonder? I mean, for me, I think four things came to mind. My marriage to Ailish, and I'm saying that and she's not even here, so that's a pretty good one, I think. The gift of our son Jacob, who we waited many years for a child to come to our marriage. Being licensed as a reader in the Church of England actually has brought me much joy. And the recovery from my older son's heart transplant about 10 years ago. They all give me much joy. But you know, there's something that gives us much deeper, much greater joy. And that's when we're saved by the Lord Jesus, when we believe in the Lord Jesus. When we know and when we accept by faith that his death and resurrection on the cross and his resurrection after have saved us, have rescued us. When we know that God's mercy and grace have been locked into us, assuring us of being saved and in God's presence forever. And sometimes that knowledge of how great God is and what he's done for me, what Jesus has done for me, it stops me in my tracks actually. Sometimes I think, I was such a messed up bloke. I can't believe that Jesus would save me. And then when I think he has, when I celebrate that he has, somewhere from deep within me, the joy just comes and bubbles up. But you know, just as frequently, well, it seems to me, I get bogged down in struggles and gripes and problems at sort of one end of the spectrum. And at the other end, I get distracted by happiness, of short-term happiness in sort of maybe an idol of something that is taking my priority away from Jesus. Or if I'm honest, the big one in the middle of the spectrum is work. I get so bogged down in work, sometimes, head down, that sometimes I forget that I'm saved. I forget that how great Jesus is and what he's done for me. And because what that means is the joy of knowing Jesus doesn't get a chance to bubble up and surface. And so that affects the way I live my life for Jesus. Maybe I don't honour and glorify Jesus as much as I want to, as much as he wants me to. And so, you know, I don't witness, I don't represent Jesus as he would like me to. Maybe that's the same for some of you as well. Our Bible reading today encourages us to let the joy out more frequently, if I can put it that way. helping us to see how expressing our joy of knowing Jesus will have an impact, and what impact it has. A, on other people, we saw that in our story, but also, by the grace of God, the impact it has on ourselves, because when the joy of being saved by Jesus comes out, it sort of strengthens and deepens our faith and joy even further. Now, you remember in our reading, it started and finished with outward signs of joy. Joy in the knowledge, in the hope, in the faith and the trust of the one who saves, the Lord Jesus Christ. And firstly, we looked at Paul and Silas. Now, we started our reading just sort of a bit into the story. Just before the story, it tells us that Paul and Silas have been out on the streets talking about Jesus to people. And they've got arrested, and they've got really badly beaten up. They've been flogged with bars or something. They've been thrown into the deepest cell, the inner cell, and they've been whacked in, what are they called? Stocks. And they were in sort of a right mess. I mean, they were, you know, this was serious. This was serious stuff. They were really in a bad way. And you think, well, where's the joy in that? But verse 25 tells us that they weren't moaning and groaning. They weren't complaining about, oh, aren't we so hard done by? No, it says at midnight they were praying, they were singing, they were giving thanksgiving to God. Of course, they were in pain. They were really hurting. But knowing that they were saved, knowing that God had helped them to be courageous in sharing their faith, knowing that the circumstances that they were in prison was actually evidence that they were suffering for Jesus, that they were following Jesus. It all assured them that their lives were founded in Jesus, that they were saved, that they believed in Jesus. And all of that enabled the joy of knowing Jesus, that they were saved, to bubble up even in those bad circumstances. And then we see this God's miracle, the earthquake, the doors fly open, the chains come off. And you know, but that wasn't directly for Paul and Silas. I think if that was the case, probably God would have done it a bit more quietly. They could have got out, as another story earlier on in Acts with the apostles. But this, the big bang, if you like, that went on was for the benefit of the jailer, to see God's power and might at work. And it brings the jailer to his knees in repentance and submission to Jesus. Of course, Paul and Silas, they benefit from it because they're freed. But it's noticeable, isn't it, that they're freed not to escape, but they're freed to witness for Jesus. And they take the opportunity of leading that jailer to Jesus as well. Verse 27 tells us that the jailer was about to kill himself. Because, you know, he'd failed in his responsibilities. And, you know, his head was for the chop anyway, so he thought, well, I might as well kill myself. But Paul and Silas say to him, no. No, nobody's escaped. We're all here. The earthquake, the doors flying open, the chains being released, the integrity and the witness of Paul and Silas, and the work of the Holy Spirit through all of those circumstances caused the jailer who would have been probably an ex-Roman soldier, hardened and brutal, he was convicted by the power of God at work, causing him to ask the question, this deep spiritual searching question that's been in every one of us. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, came the answer. And you know, in that moment of acceptance by the jailer, he became a Christian, which is just, you know, a great story in itself. But I wonder if you picked up in verse 32, Paul and Silas, they didn't leave it there. The jailer, you know, they didn't just say, well, you can get on with it, you're a Christian now, you carry on. No, they stopped with him and they explained the detail a bit more. They explained more about the good news of Jesus. It says they spoke the word of the Lord to him. The jailer was saved. All he needed to do was believe in Jesus. That's all we need to do, is believe in Jesus, that he died for us. But as Paul and Silas explained more to him, he began to understand it more, and that enabled him to live out his faith. And we see that incredibly in two particular ways, in such a short time after he's become a Christian. Firstly, in verses 33 and 34, he witnesses. He gets his family and he gets Paul and Silas together so Paul and Silas can tell his household, his family, all about Jesus as well. And amazingly, God in his grace brings salvation to all of them. He saves them all. Yeah, the adults would have made a decision for themselves at that time, but as it was for Sam and Kirsten today with Layla, God brings in the children as well in that situation until they can make a decision for themselves. So the jailer witnesses, that's his first response to being saved. And then secondly, he responds by serving others. First, he washes the wounds of Paul and Silas. And then he serves up a midnight feast to them. And you know, I look at this and I think, what a turnaround this is, isn't it? Hardened enforcer to suddenly a gentle carer and a generous host to people who were his captives just a moment or an hour or so before. Only God is capable of doing that in a person. But the biggie for me, the big thing for me, is that these responses of witness and serving were fueled by the jailer's joy. His life had been completely and dramatically turned upside down by Jesus. His earthly prospects were still uncertain. He was still risky for him. You know, the story stops here. What happens next? He could get in big trouble. But he's now happy because his eternal future is secure. And verse 34 tells us he was filled with joy. And the original Greek word that is translated to joy here is not the sort of secular word that we use for joy. It's a word used in the Bible in the New Testament that means something so deep within us, something that God puts there when we give our lives to Jesus, that deep joy that enables us to witness and serve for him. The jailer knew that whatever was going to happen to him, it was nothing compared to the treasure of an eternal future with God himself. Paul, Silas and the jailer, they show us that the Lord Jesus is the answer in all circumstances, in hard times, normal times and party times. And he gives us hope for an eternity while we serve him and worship him and witness for him here on earth. They believed in the Lord Jesus and they were saved. And that filled them with deep joy. And that's my prayer for every one of us here today, that knowing we are saved by the Lord Jesus will enable us to serve him joyfully in all circumstances. Amen.